If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. And if you didn't pick up the notes, there should be... We've got a big crowd here. Wow. I don't know if I printed enough. But the notes are on the book card. Philippians chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 12 and 13. He says in verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." You know, very often we make our plans, and then things don't go according to plan. And we look at that as a setback. And because, after all, our plans were the best plans that could have been made. And anything that's going to be differing from the plans that I made are definitely going to be a worse situation. And therefore, this is going to be a huge liability. And the fact of the matter is that this was not a liability. If we go back and looked at please don't turn there. We're just going to be alluding to it. But if you go back and look in Romans, Paul, just before his trip to Jerusalem where he gets arrested, had written the book of Romans. Probably from Corinth, and was telling them his plans, that after I go to Jerusalem, then I'm planning on heading west to see you folks and spend a little time with you, and hopefully you'll be able to help me go even further west, because my plans are to go to Spain. And by the way, we don't have any hard and fast evidence that Paul ever made it as far as Spain, but we do know he made it to Rome. But not the way that he was planning. He was planning on gathering enough funds and some help from friends and so on to be able to sail back to Rome, probably stopping in the different places along the way, going an overland trip, partly by sea, partly by land, visiting the churches that had been founded in the years before, and being able to minister to them along the way, and then over a period of months or maybe even a year, make it finally to Rome. And, but that is not how it worked. That is not how it worked. Sometimes our plans, adjust things. Sometimes God adjusts our plans, of course, to bring them into accord with His plan. One of the things you look at regarding foreign missionaries and the great, influx of missions 150 years ago, that a lot of the people that, oh, I'm going to China, or I'm going to India, or I'm going to Africa, and that isn't where they landed. God sent them someplace else, and they had a great, fantastic, sometimes nationally changing ministry in a country that they had not originally intended to go to, because God has better plans than we do. And so Paul ends up going to Rome. Now, very often, the path that God chooses for us is not the one we would choose. Sometimes it's full of hardship. Sometimes it's full of various difficulties that we find uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I am always in a hurry. And to be forced to slow down, be forced to come on, can't we get on with the program, please? Oh, yes, yes, I've heard this before. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. That's me at my house. And my wife's giving me dirty looks because that's the way I am. I got to be careful because they can't see you. And what we had last week along with this week, this is going to be fun. And because... I want it done. And one of the things that Paul, it's kind of funny. You read the book of Acts and you look at the mileage. I alluded to this, I think on Wednesday. For Paul, it was not the years, it was the mileage. Paul was a high mileage guy. And I strongly suspect that one of the reasons that he was under arrest and incarcerated for quite a long time in Caesarea Philippi, by the way, under very plush conditions. And then he goes on this cruise, this Mediterranean cruise. A little bumpy, but goes on this Mediterranean cruise, ends up getting shipwrecked. Spends the winter in Malta, and then goes up to Italy, and he spends 2 years in Italy under house arrest. So he's got a number of years where he's just mostly sitting around. And I strongly suspect that Paul probably needed the rest. He didn't want to slow down. If left to himself, he wouldn't have slowed down. But sometimes God puts us in a situation where we have to. And again, not the path that that we would choose. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the training, the experiences that we need along the way. Sometimes we need those bumps in the road. Sometimes we need that hardship to be able to gain a piece of experience, a piece of information, something that we can plug into our worldview to help us with what God has for us down the road. Trials afford us opportunities for the gospel. Again, let's look at verse 12. I would you should understand, brethren. Now, the Philippians knew that Paul, at long last, had been sent to Rome from Caesarea Philippi. He had been incarcerated there in Caesarea Philippi for a while, and for a couple of years, and now he's gone to Rome. He has probably been in Rome for a year or more before the book of Philippians was written. And so they understood that he was there, that he was incarcerated. Now, Paul left to himself. If Paul is doing what Paul does, Paul is traveling. Paul goes to this place, this city, goes to the synagogue, wins a bunch of people to Christ. There's a division whether or not we're going to accept the messianic promise fulfilled in the person of Christ or reject it. Those who accept it are the basis for the new church. The Jews that were there, as well as the God-fearing Gentiles, they would become the core of a new church. And then as those people who are excited about their faith share it with others, as Paul engages people and teaches others, pretty soon the church grows and grows and grows and grows. And depending on where he is, he may be there for just a few months, or he may be there for a number of years. He was in Ephesus for 3 years. But when he's done, he will turn that over to somebody else, and then off he goes again to repeat the process. Over and over and over again, he did this all over the place. And here, he's stuck. He can't go out to the synagogue and preach. He can't preach on the streets. He can't do what he did in Athens and go into the marketplace and engage people. He's stuck. And I think some folks would say, and I think the Philippians in part were thinking, oh man, poor Paul. Oh, what a waste. He can't be engaged in the ministry. He's imprisoned. What a catastrophe. What a great setback for the gospel. Understand that life is ministry, opportunity, and enabler. Life. We spend, I think, too much of our time looking for those opportunities when they're right here. We are surrounded by opportunities. And we're blind so often to the things that are right before us. Your life, my life, is a ministry opportunity. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You're in line someplace. Talk to the person next to you. We got a long line here at the grocery store. Oh, they're packed. I can't believe this. I hate this. Start a cup of conversation with somebody. What's the worst thing they can do? Ignore you. Blow you off. You've got an opportunity. We are surrounded by opportunities. Sometimes the hardships create opportunities because it puts us in place with people that we would never encounter before. All right. My wife posted on Facebook. We had a great anniversary here this past week. That was 2 years since I'd had open heart surgery. That created a lot of opportunities. Sharing the gospel with folks in the hospital. Sharing the gospel with the fellow at rehab. People that I would not have had opportunity to talk to otherwise. And also my experience has been an encouragement to others that yes, God makes himself known. The grace of God works. God answers prayer. The most humbling thing was, good grief, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people praying for me. And I'm thankful, but boy, that's a humbling thing. And God answered prayer. I mean, I was out of the hospital 4 days early. God did some great things. And so we're able to share these things. God turns what we perceive to be setbacks into advantages. He turns them into the things that we should have been doing all along, or he's giving us opportunities that we weren't looking for because we were looking at this one. No, that isn't where I want you right now. I want you doing this right now. We'll get you there, maybe. But this is what I want you to focus on right now. And so we seize the opportunity that is right there. Because God is always going to do what is right and best for us. And ultimately, what is going to, if he has plans for us down the road, what is ultimately going to render us the most effective as we yield ourselves to him? So our experiences, the hardships, the difficulties, the catastrophes that we endure are actually ultimately for our, in the long run, for our benefit. And so the opportunities, were coming. And so, opportunity with new people and new places. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, it says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places. The word palace, and I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to be overly academic here. I copied this from another place that I had done this thing. So you have a Greek word there. And the word there is praetorio. Praetorio. The Roman army had a bunch of different divisions. And the most elite one was the Praetorian Guard, made up of approximately 10,000 soldiers if it was at full strength. And it was there in Rome. It was the core of people that were to protect the city, but it had morphed over time into the emperor's personal bodyguard, even though it was so huge. And that way, if there was a civil war, and some other general in the army thought, well, we'll take Rome and I'll make myself emperor. Well, that way the emperor had a big group of people to defend him, just in case such a thing happened, which, by the way, it did happen several times. When Paul was there incarcerated, even though he's under house arrest, now these days they put an anklet on you. How did they keep you under house arrest 2,000 years ago? Yes. But you, okay, did they chain you to the wall? They chain you in the yard like a dog?
To the guard.
Okay, they chain you to a soldier. So here we have, and I have this, I think I have this down here. So Paul is chained to a soldier 24/7. But if he's chained to the same guy 24/7, then the soldier is also imprisoned. It didn't work that way. They went on shifts. So we're going to unhook the one guy and hook up another guy. So every 4 hours, there's a new shift. And, I'm sorry, have I got that right? There's six watches a day, 7 days a week. And according to Acts chapter 28 and verse 30, this went over for 2 years. If you do the math, we've got 4,380 opportunities to share the gospel with a captive audience. Because I'll guarantee you that every soldier that was chained to the Apostle Paul got heard the gospel. Four times a day, Paul got to share the gospel with somebody new that couldn't get away. The roles were reversed. The prisoner becomes the preacher, and the guard becomes the captive audience. And so he shares the gospel with these folks. And evidently, over a period of time, a bunch of these guys got saved. And not only that, it went on beyond that. I want you to keep your finger here and go over to chapter 4. Now again, Paul can't go anywhere. He's chained to a soldier. He's stuck in his house. Some of the commentators said that he may have gone to the barracks with one of the soldiers, something like that, but that's speculation. From what we have in the scripture, he was in the house. Because it talks about that for 2 years there at the end of the book of Acts, although it leaves it there. At the end of chapter 4, Paul is giving his greetings to and from, various people giving their greetings to the Philippians and then so on. He says in verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And others, people, because Paul could have people come and see him, although he couldn't go anywhere. And then he says this in verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. When Paul was saved, it was said that he would be a witness to governors and kings. And we alluded to this before, that that's a tricky audience to have access to. How do I gain access to the emperor? How am I going to preach the gospel to the governors of Judea? How am I going to preach the gospel to Herod Agrippa II? How am I going to preach the gospel to Nero? And he did. He preached to all those people, all four of those. How was God going to bring this about? Because God had said a couple decades before, you're going to be preaching to governors and kings. Well, what we're going to do is you're going to get arrested. That isn't the plan I would take. I would rather become a rich and famous person, person of influence, prestige, and they would want to hear from me simply because it's an honor to hear from me. Instead, he becomes this notable, or even in the eyes of some, notorious prisoner that becomes something of a curiosity. And so people want to hear, what is with this guy? Why is he here? Well, there's this going on. Really, is that right? Can I hear his story? Well, yes, you'll hear about him tomorrow. And so here he is, opportunities to share the gospel. But he's got this chain. Yes, I know. That chain has become his ticket to preach to the high and mighty. Wouldn't have been able to otherwise. That was God's means to bring about something that otherwise humanly it was impossible. And here he has this great opportunity. Left to ourselves, if we are planning our course, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. For those who plan, by the way. I do this, and then I do this, and then this, and this, and then because of all these other things, this is what's going to happen. Now, I can tell you from personal experience that the vast majority of time, this chain gets interrupted. And the grand and glorious expectation that we have over here doesn't turn out. Instead, it's something that happens over here, usually due to the interruption. But we need to recognize the fact that God is the one, very often, who does the interrupting. Now, sometimes our own sin and so on can interrupt the path. But very often, God is the one who interrupts the course. God is the one who changes the path. Because we may have a great and noble goal. But God is the one who's in charge. God knows what he wants you to do. God has a place exactly where he wants you to be and people that he wants you to talk to. And you never know. You never know. I know personally several notable preachers who were led to the Savior by nobody of consequence. Somebody they were working with. Somebody they were in the Army with, or the Air Force, somebody they were in the military with, a co-worker, a neighbor, a cousin, somebody that shared the gospel with them. And God used an ordinary person just being faithful in sharing the gospel, because God had this person over here who was going to get saved, had plans for this one to do some big stuff. Now, remember, in the eyes of God, you could be a nobody in people's eyes, and you may be great in God's eyes. When we get the awards in heaven, I think that, you know, we'll be totally shocked as far as who gets the great rewards and who doesn't. The most valuable person in a church, generally speaking, is somebody that no one would ever think is the most valuable. It's the person who spends hours and hours in prayer. It's the person who is being faithful and supportive of the church as far as the behind-the-scenes stuff. The people who are up front are just the faces. But the people who are actually doing something for the work of God are the people that are on their knees. And I think that those are the people that are going to be getting the greatest rewards. Seizing the opportunity. Folks, view it this way. We are on 24/7 as Christians. Life is ministry. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. Life is ministry. Seize the opportunity. We need to be able to, I mention this in my prayers all the time. Help us to see the opportunity. Because all the time it's like, I had this great opportunity and I bungled it. I didn't say what I should have said. I had this great opportunity. Okay, help me to see the opportunity. And then sometimes, well, even when we see it, I don't do anything. They'll be offended. Or, how do I turn the conversation? What do I do? Help me to seize the opportunity. Okay? Always have gospel tracts with you. We've got some back there. We run out. I'll get you more. Use gospel tracts. Because even if you are limited on your opportunity of conversation, here, we've got this. It's got the church's address. It's got the church's phone number. It's got the church's, everybody does it this way these days, the website. You'd be astounded. Eternity will tell. I'm really curious now, but eternity will tell. I would really love to know what God is doing through people who heard about us from somebody who heard about us from somebody who heard about us from somebody who heard about us, and they're watching it online, and we will never hear about it in this side of glory. But they're listening. Maybe they've been listening for years on the website. Maybe they've been watching us. We have people, there are people overseas that are watching. I don't know who these people are. But they're watching. The plague has been a great ministry opportunity. It has forced gospel preaching churches to put their message online. Something we should have been doing years ago, and very few were, and now we're all doing it. And the rest of the world is getting inundated with the gospel message because they've all got access, or at least most people did. To see and seize the opportunity, and then God needs to have our will. I need to conform my will to God's will so that when I see and seize the opportunity, I am willing to do something about it. Life is ministry. Yeah, there's bumps in the road. Yes, there's inconveniences. Yes, there's changes in plans. God's in charge of making the plans. He has plans for you. Seize the opportunity of where you are with the opportunities that God affords you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Paul, instead of being frustrated and discouraged by the perceived setbacks, looked at these as great opportunities. We'll be looking at more opportunities that he experienced next week. But Father, thank you. Life is ministry. And very often some of the best opportunities are the ones that we don't plan on. They're the ones that you drop in our laps. And so Father, thank you for these things. Father, may we be available. May our wills be conformed to you, and to see and to seize the opportunities, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.